our friends that were captured them to the king after that broadcast. Turn your speakers up, sit back, and enjoy.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Kid Astronaut Podcast. This is episode 14. My guest today is Tomorrow. A play on the name Mario J. Romero.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The man next to me. So this guy has been a big part of my life for the last 5,000 years.
Right.
And man, so one of the things that I was thinking about, I think you were like 25 when we met.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I just passed, you know, I'm 29 now. So I passed like that age, and I was just thinking like what you were doing at that time. And I don't know, man, I've always just had a lot of respect for you, but also I realized like just the way that you approach the world, and I don't know, it's just always something to learn from people. So I think you have a lot that you could teach me, that you could teach my guests out here. So I don't know, I think this would be a really cool podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's a little bit, you know, you make music.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You're an entrepreneur, father.
Number
person
one.
Person that works hard. Do you work hard or do you try and work smart?
Both.
Or both.
Yes, sir. Work hard and work smart.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, tell us more about Mario from your perspective.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I've been in Denver my whole life, and like you said, I met you when you were just I think maybe you're like
lad.
Maybe even 14 years old. I think in eighth grade, and you had like a, you know, little bun in your hair, and you could sing like crazy. I remember you were part of a project we did called Words Can Heal.
Yeah.
And just at your young age, 14 years old, you were not only a great vocalist, but you were writing. And just really, you were quiet though. You didn't really talk a lot.
That's true.
And we actually had a recording studio in a warehouse, which is now the Rhino District. So we're off 33rd and Blake in 2003 or 2004. And so, you know, since then I've been doing music in different genres. I've lived in Los Angeles, actually come back and started doing more CCM music. It's Christian contemporary music, but still just loving it. And I think with technology today, I mean, it's the sky's the limit, really. There's nothing you can't do. If you can think it, you can do it with the gadgets that are out today. So
what's something that you've been really inspired by creatively, merging like the technological world?
No, I think everything, you know, I just I think, you know, depending on what you like, you know, I grew up listening to records my mom played. She was playing old Earth, Wind, and Fire records, you know, and so when I think about like time, like at that time, Earth, Wind, and Fire was actually groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. Not only their musicianship, but the way they were recording was amazing. Like they had a brother named Massenburg. He was working with Maurice White on how to record music different. So if you listen to the sonic difference of an Earth, Wind, and Fire record,
it bangs.
It's amazing. Still to this day, it's
phenomenal. Bigger than most of the things that came out in the 70s for sure.
So I think similar, we're witnessing that again, where I think people that you wouldn't expect are putting out some really good product. Hmm. And I think it's I mean, as far as influences now, gosh, I mean, heck, I just really love every genre of music. I think people are really creative. I think it's just, you know, like going back to the technology, I think it's kind of level playing field now. Before, you used to have access to a studio like Side 3, or you would have to have access to a larger console, an SSL. But today with plugins and with, you know, VST instruments and a good mic, you could actually produce a good record in the box.
And people do.
Oh yeah, it's phenomenal. How about you? What's your...
What have I been like inspired by?
Yeah.
I would maybe say the same thing. I think in my head, I'm just thinking, I love like big records, like stuff that hits your body and just hits your soul.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that. And so I have some really good producer friends who are able to, like even yourself, man, I feel like you really dial in a really great sonic quality.
Thank you,
and that's something that just inspires me, because while I'm a musician and a singer and a songwriter, engineering and producing is something that I'm still kind of like just not really, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah,
and, you know, so it's just like I want to make these big records, but there's all of this knowledge that goes behind it.
Sure.
But that people can do it on their computer is just groundbreaking to me. And yeah. It still is just as much a craft. It still takes that much time and dedication. Yeah.
And in fact, I think what we're seeing, it's similar to like back in the day when the Beatles were playing, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody had access to guitars and bass. It's just who is actually using the guitar and bass at the highest level.
Sure.
So now everybody has kind of like a level playing field, but
there are always going to be those people who
that kind of just take it to another level. And I think, you know, I've always been a fan of yours. You know, like we said, we met you when you were just a young brother, and then you know, your success with Air Dubai, and even your own solo success with the different projects you've put out. And I still think the sky's the limit for you. I think we have just seen the beginning of John and Kid Astronaut. And I look forward to being a part of that. And I'll tell you what, you know, the cool thing about technology is that for me being older, because I am older, you know, I have to really say, okay, what type of music do I want to make? Am I into some of the newer things? I think to a point, but I think you learn so much things along the way.
Yeah, that you have to integrate too.
Yeah, it's good.
I think my favorite artist is Jay-Z. And that's just musically, like, regardless of his politics, and we could talk about all that stuff if you want to, but I think, like, as a musician, the longevity of Jay-Z and still the ability to create groundbreaking music, he's unparalleled in that.
Yeah.
There's other artists that have kept going. I could maybe say Stevie Wonder, but Stevie's not really putting out records, you know?
Yeah. I would agree with you. I think let's take both Jay-Z and Stevie Wonder. You know, obviously they're talented at their craft. Their skill set as far as a rapper or as far as a singer and writer. But I think what they did you got to look at sonically, you know, the music was good. Obviously Jay-Z pairing a lot with Kanye, you know,
production.
Rick Rubin, you know.
Yeah,
so
totally.
The music was there. But I think especially Jay-Z, he was just talking about what he experienced.
Sure.
And so what he experienced in the Marcy Projects at the time was real.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a, you know, like, you know, a lot of times, you know, we create music that is sometimes, I wouldn't say make-believe, but we're essentially creating this fictional storyline where really he was just regurgitating what he'd been through.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what is going to be awesome, I think that let's go to Stevie before I say this. Stevie, the same. They were able to create music and use, you know, he was one of the first cats to use a synclavier.
Iconic Stevie sound.
Yeah, yeah. So, but he was able to talk about social things at the time, and that's what I think music is missing today.
Interesting.
Is this, you know,
consciousness?
Usually music would run parallel to the times.
Sure.
But right now there's some, but there's a gap there where it's almost absent.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
You know, I think it could be, you know, the spiritual things I would go to is, you know, it's like the blessing and the curse. Like, the blessing of technology is good, but the curse of technology is that if we're just in our phones and if we're just kind of
disconnected,
or if we're if we're not present, and we're either creating something we want to put out in the future, or are you just really right here?
Sure.
And so
that's interesting.
And I think obviously, you know, drug use, you know, different types of substance use, and I wouldn't call that even abuse, but people are experiencing different things and experimenting with different things. I think unfortunately there's a lot of numbing use right now, where people are numbing themselves from the reality of dealing with life sometimes as well.
Whereas music comes from, most of the music that I love comes from the place of pure of feeling it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that pure emotion.
Yeah. Well, you listened to, your mom played records in your house. Like, what was she listening to?
She didn't actually play the records. I would take those out and play them.
Really?
Yeah, like.
Oh, she weren't.
She just had them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I would take those out and play them. And I would always just pick the record that had the coolest cover. Like the four dudes with afros and shit, like in some skin tight leather pants. Like, what does this even sound like?
Yeah, the spinners and the four tops or what?
You know?
Yeah, that's good.
But that's also how I got into the Jacksons and stuff like that too, just kind of looking through the records, exploring it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's so important that, you know, artists have a voice today, you know, and whether you're creating your own art and you're putting it out, you really have, the sky's the limit to really create some special things where you don't have to be preachy, but you can be real.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's what people gravitate towards is real music, you know. And I work in the CCM field, or Christian hip hop field, and a brother named Lecrae came out.
Yep.
And he kind of changed everything, where instead of it being preachy rap, it became kind of like, this is what I'm going through rap. So it's like, I'm no better than anyone else, but this is just how I'm dealing with what I'm going through.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, it's just so important that we raise that frequency. I think I heard Kanye, he was on David Letterman has a...
Netflix?
Yeah.
I was going to watch it. I'm kind of weird about Kanye right now.
Yeah,
but.
But you know, he said something that was really interesting. He said, and I'm just regurgitating Kanye.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get so deep on it. But he was talking about, well, he goes, what do you think about the music today? And he goes, well, everything's about the frequency of the chakras.
Okay.
He goes, you get into the lower chakras, that's the bass frequency.
Yeah.
He goes, that's the sex frequency. And he goes, and so you have people making music in the sex frequency and talking gibberish. That's the state of the society today. Mm-hmm. So he says, he's creating this church, right? He wants to make music just freehand. And whether I agree with his form of that or not, I think it's special because he's at least acknowledging the power of music. And then he even went as far as to say that Satan, Lucifer, was the star of the morning, and he was the angel that was leading all the other angels in worship to God. And when he fell, he brought music down with him. And so he's saying, yo, man, what we're playing with is very, very, very dangerous. We're playing with frequencies that are deep, and so we can control. And so I thought that was interesting because it runs parallel to some of the biblical principles that are in at least the Christian Bible. And not to go on a religious tangent here, but I think it was awesome for him to acknowledge that at least. Because sometimes we live in a society today that people don't want to at least acknowledge spirituality or acknowledge that God exists. And a lot of it comes from is like, well, when has he existed for me? Hmm. This is what I'm going through. If a God existed, this is what I'm going through. You know, you get a lot of people that are like, man, I don't believe in this because of the way my experiences I've been through or the way, you know, my life went down. Surely there can't be a God, because if there was a God, why did I go through X or go through Y? I don't think you're
that
way.
So what's the adverse thing? What would be the your response to someone who feels that?
Well, I can only speak for me personally. That you know, when I left to Los Angeles, that's where, right after I had the studio downtown.
Yeah.
I started reading a lot of Far Eastern books. I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, Indian book. I gave you a copy of that. I read a lot of Buddhist books, and I really found them interesting, and I actually felt them to be freeing. They freed me from a lot of the idea of who I was, but there was still something missing. So when I was in LA, and as you know, even at the studio, I didn't smoke or drink and do a lot of things. But when I went to Los Angeles, I started to experiment with marijuana. And what happened is that I started reading the Holy Bible at the same time, which is like, hey, you're experimenting with all these things. What was happening is I was searching for myself. Mm-hmm. And so when I was not smoking, and I didn't smoke a lot, just enough that would create this what I called shift. So when I smoked, I was like on this far right polar shift.
Okay.
Then when I didn't, I was far left.
Mm.
But the word of God stood right in the middle.
And in what way? What did it feel like? An energetic pull?
It felt the same. It didn't change no matter what
you were doing.
And so that said,
what was the feeling?
You know, the feeling didn't happen until I actually was born again and I got baptized. And that's when I came back from Los Angeles. And I was working for a label at Universal called Pocos Pero Locos. It was actually Silent Giant Entertainment. And we did mostly like Chicano rap. Like it was like, you know, a lot of urban stuff like Slow Pain and Little Rob and Power 106. You know, it was very LA culture, but it was syndicated on. Right, you know. But I wasn't really into the music. I just wanted to do it because I was making money.
Yeah,
and I wanted to make it like anyone else. I wanted to be a producer. And so I say all that to say this is that, for me, doing music that I didn't really want to do, but I was doing it because the whole goal since I was a kid
was to make music.
To make it in music.
Yeah.
And so, hey, I'm at Universal. I'm doing what I want to do. But deep inside, I was dying.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Because you're writing a record for some dudes that's talking about some stuff gibberish. And I'm like, man, I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm getting paid. So that said, you said the feeling. For me, it was more that in my experience, I'll say it just very, very honestly. It was my experience and encounter with Jesus Christ came when he started coming to me. And so when I was a kid, I used to get chased by demonic entities in my dreams, like since I was like 4 or 5. And I don't know if you remember this, if you were a kid, like I used to be able to fly in my dreams and kind of maneuver. And one day this like dark entity started chasing me. And so it would chase me out of my dream into like I would wake up and I could still feel it near me. And the only way that it would go away is if I said Jesus. This is the thing though, I never went to church. I never went to, you know, we were kind of going to church on arbitrary holidays and but I did go to a Catholic preschool. And then I remember, and it was simply for the fact that my mom couldn't afford childcare, we went to Sunday school and to, you know, these Bible classes. So when I, you know, after reading the Bhagavad Gita and the story, you read some of it, of Ajurna and how that, you know, we're in this life and we're battling, and it's a great story if you have a chance to read it. You know, Gandhi read the Bhagavad Gita, so did Martin Luther King. But the experience with Jesus was that here was God coming to me. I didn't have to search for God. God came to me and he says, I love you. And you don't have to run anymore. You know, I'm right here. You just have to call me into your life. And you know, I've always felt the Lord walk with me my whole life. Even when I was doing wrong, I could feel like, dude, you're doing wrong.
Yeah, the presence.
You're up to no good. But each experience is different, but I can honestly say my encounter with Christ is legitimate. Now, that doesn't mean, though, let's talk about, you know, we were talking about politics early, that I always agree with the evangelical church. You know,
that's interesting.
That doesn't mean that. Because I think that's what people think, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, I encourage anyone, you know, to really, you know, have an encounter with God by simply calling
him, asking for what it is for you.
Yeah. I know that kind of went on a little tangent.
No,
there,
I appreciate that, man. And I was hoping that we would get into spirituality. And I think that's a big component definitely of your life. You know, you do music in the Christian contemporary genre, but also, just spirituality is something that I talk about a lot, and it's a personal journey just for everyone. So, you know, just being able to express how that shows up for you.
Yeah. You know, one thing I would say is that I always give this example. When I was a kid, I don't know if you were into horoscopes.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know,
I'm a Gemini.
Yeah, I'm a Gemini too. That's why I think we can.
Yep.
So, in most Christian circles, they would say, well, we don't believe in that. But I would always disagree. I go, well, actually, I do believe in it. And they go, well, how so? And I go, well, when you think about astronomy and you think about all the stars and the constellations, they're aligning and they have a force, just like the moon, right? We just had a full moon.
Yeah.
We could, you know, the reason people were called lunatics, right? Because the lunar, you know, the lunar presence that pulled the waves. So in the Bible, it talks about that the fight isn't against blood and flesh, but against principalities and spiritual dominions, right?
Yeah,
so you think about, like, these planets all moving together, they have a force on us, right? But when you have a relationship with God, if God was first before the planets and before all the solar system, you're connected directly to God.
To God, yeah.
So then none of these forms could actually harm
you.
Yeah. So that's why in my faith, and I say it like that because it's objective. You know, it's not to push my faith down anybody, but I want to explain objectively the reason why we'll say that there's no name above the name of Jesus, or there's no name above God. All things bow down to God because God was the first A that created the B, C, and the, you know, he created everything else. So everything bows down to God. So when you have God or the Holy Spirit in your life, it doesn't mean that you're not going to go through stuff. But it also means that you'll have this favor. And it's not like name it and claim it. Yo, I'm going to, you know, God's a cash register. But it does, right? You know, because there are some people like, you know, God's calling me and he's blessing me. And I don't think it's necessarily works that way. But because...
In some ways.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah.
But God doesn't care about things. He cares about us.
Yeah.
And so he's going to use things. And he's going to use these purposes for his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that analogy because for me, it doesn't deny, hey, you could be into these, you know, signs, and you can be in all these forums. But if, I'm going to tell you, for me, those don't apply to me because I believe in the A.
Yeah.
And the A becomes before all the forms. In fact, the A created all the forms.
Right. And that's why I like dipping into the different ways of talking about it. Because, like, for me, it's like, if God is a part of everything, I can find God in multiple places.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I just try and be open. I try and, like, listen to the universe and listen to God, the God that speaks to me.
Yeah. Well, you have a very, I think you, what we would call, you have a spiritual gift of discernment, and I think that spiritual gift is really related to your musical ability, because you are, you can feel frequencies and vibration, and that's why that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. But you could feel good stuff, and then, you know, you could feel some bad stuff too. Yeah. Some bad vibes from a cat, you know.
Yeah, or some people call that empathic too.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, just being open to those frequencies and also the spiritual realm. Like, I do, I consciously open myself up to be a channel to spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's good, brother. Yeah. Good,
yeah.
Good stuff there. You know, one thing we didn't talk about, but I think it's important, is that you and I worked on a project for a small movie, a short film called Lemonade Mafia, and you wrote the lyrics for it.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, but it was produced by a girl named Anya Adams that I knew in Los Angeles, and Marisai Martin.
Yeah,
you know, she's a really
baller.
Yeah, she's doing good.
You know? Young boss. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool that
Thank
how you vibed.
That,
with, yeah. No. Well, you vibed with her, and really, you made the song. I just did the beat, but you know, it was really cool to see you in that element with, you know, working in you know, with different artists, brother, that have the same talent you have, you know.
Sure, yeah. I mean, so just to go more into it, I wrote a rap for a short film, and that was something I never did before, writing as like a character that wasn't me, but also like this 11-year-old little girl, like Marsai, that played it. So I wrote this like kind of technically difficult song, but she came in and crushed it.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a really cool experience. And
you
know, just as an artist, I want to do more stuff like that for sure. Like, I'm writing for an animated film right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Just no, keeping it going.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, I hope to, you know, I know we've talked, you know, although I'm doing CCM records right now, I wouldn't say I'm going to do just any record, but I'm looking forward to doing records with you that are helping people. Or they're just talking, you know, just talking. It's not just about love, but it's talking just some realness.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people can put that on. And then, listen, don't get me wrong, there's enough playlists on Spotify, so people can have everything. But if they can go to a song, that genre, that is not only contemporary, not is only
banging.
Sonically banging, but, man, that dude's saying some things.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just in a writing session before this, and I was talking about, like, my goals for songs are, like, memorable, catchy. I want people to listen to it to the end of time. But also, like, at the end of the day, regardless of what the content is, like, you know, I try and be creative and throw in metaphors and all that. But at the end, my intention is that it does something to uplift and heal people, or help them get through whatever they're going through, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I know you're actually the orator here, and you're interviewing me, but I have a question for you. So, so you've been in Denver your whole life. You obviously have been able to travel. You've been to London, whatnot. So the difference between even when Air Dubai was popping off and you were able to tour, you were on the Warp Tour, and even now, Denver, you know, 3.0, what do you see the differences? What do you see from your perspective, Denver, the music scene in Denver, and just in general, kind of where it's going?
Yeah. To be honest, I think maybe during the Air Dubai times, just because it was more of a group effort, I felt like there was like a lot more community and culture than there is right now. And I don't know, with Kid Astronaut, I spend a lot of time like alone getting my stuff together, and you know, obviously doing the podcast helps me kind of branch out to the community. But I feel, I don't know, like, I remember just there were like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bands all at once releasing songs every week, and like, it just felt like there was a lot more activity happening. Sure. And I don't know if it's just like culturally, there's like a lot going on just in the world, putting pressure on a lot of Denver artists right now, just with the, you know, all types of situations, whatever they may be.
Yeah.
So I think we're just kind of in a crunch period right now.
Sure.
Where the music that we're all going to create from these moments are going to be like the masterful pieces, you know?
Sure, sure. And
it feels more like a cocoon right now.
Sure. So you think like things are kind of marinating?
I do. Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. And I know, you know, being from Five Points, you know, you're from that area. You're from Park Hill. I grew up in, you know, what is now the Highlands, but then it was just North Denver. And I went to West High School, so I lived in Baker. I had the last studio in the Baker neighborhood, right there, Santa Fe Art District. But for me, I can honestly say, some of the change I don't mind. Mm-hmm. What I miss, like anyone else, is just a voice of people who were there before.
Sure.
You know, what is our voice in that? And that's what I hoped. Root. Yeah, you know, where could we, I don't even want to say do a better job, but, you know, I know a lot of it's going to have, it has to do with access. How do you have access or you don't? You know, right now I work in the finance industry besides doing music, and, you know, it's a whole other ball game, you know, looking at, you know, the whole market and looking at how things work. And the one thing that I hope to see more urban people have is leverage. And understand leverage and understand how leverage works. And sometimes it's going to take maneuvering in a different business to get leverage to do something else, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times most artists, their dream never dies, just their circumstances build up.
Yeah, or like the path to A to B is maybe diverted by 8.1,
right?
8.2.
Yeah.
Then you get to B.
Yeah.
But it should always be the goal. I've definitely been doing more just like, let me just make money, like let me just make bread, side hustle, whatever.
Yeah.
Even though I don't love it, but at the end of the day it helps me buy podcast equipment and stuff like that. Build my spaceship.
So, yeah, that's good.
You know. Quick pause for our anchor streamers. So yeah, during our brief break, you said we were at side three. For my mobile podcast, I asked people to like introduce me to a space that means a lot to them. Obviously, we've been here a lot, but tell us your story of side three and your connection to it.
Sure. Well, it goes back to the owner, Adalio Lombardi. Him and I go way back. Playing football back in high school days. You know, he grew up in North Denver. But he actually had a company called with Trevor Price from the Denver Broncos called Outlook Music, and they were on top of it was side three. What? Let me even go before. Before that, we both had offices at a studio called Millennium that was actually at the building that's right there in front of Confluence.
Okay.
That there used to be a recording studio there called Millennium. So I had a studio, and Adalio had a studio. I mean, he had a real studio. I kind of had a production suite. So him and I met then, and, you know, we kind of worked on stuff. And he ended up moving to New York, and I went out to New York to work with him and his partner, John Tedeschi. They helped us work on some records of some groups I was producing at the time. And then when Adalio moved back, he teamed up with Trevor. And this is the truth of how my spot came to be. I would go to the studio to record at Adalio's studio over off 15th and I think it was Blake, on top of the Qdoba, right there. And I'll be honest, you know, Trevor, here's this dude that signs a $1 million contract with the Broncos. He's growing in really nice cars. And, you know, here's Adalio really working, you know, well. His family's in real estate, whatnot, and he's maneuvering. And here I was on my 10-speed, and I would come, and I didn't even have a keyboard. You know, I was just using his gear. And so the story of Side 3 is that I really learned a lot about recording from Adalio. I learned a lot about the quality of how to get good vocals, of how to, you know, just the different people that he had around I was able to learn from. So there's this cat, Daring Whittington, that was out in New York. He was producing stuff for Uptown Records. You know, he was doing stuff for, you know, Mary J. Blige. And, you know, so this dude would stack vocals a certain way, and I would just be the dude in the room like on like a fly, like, that's how you do that.
Cool.
So
Did you go to the Mary J. Blige concert?
No,
I when she was out here. Though. Yeah,
did you go?
No, I didn't get to go.
Yeah, no, she's
my son's mom did though. She wrote an article about it.
Okay, no, she's obviously been doing it since the day. I mean, she's, you know, You Remind Me. I remember I used to be a DJ and I was spinning 1200s and people loved You Remind Me. And
by Usher?
Oh well, no, this is by her.
Oh, Mary J. Blige.
Yeah, she had her own
a
record.
A joint called You Remind Me.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, she had a bunch of stuff.
No, sing it, sing it.
I don't know.
Come on, hit the Mary vocals. Come on, bro.
But I'll finish the story. The truth of Side 3, for if anything, it really, at the time, taught me what I needed to be successful. Mm. And so what I did is I ended up putting down payment on the warehouse where you used to record off Blake. And I built each wall one at a time while I was still doing work with Adalio and Side 3, and I built my own studio. And then I did the deal with the Boys and Girls Club and got sponsored by Peter Coors. Before you know it, I had $80,000 worth of gear. And, you know, we were dreamers before. You know, I feel we were still a little bit before the S-curve, if you will. But, you know, that's really my story with Adalio. And him and I are still good friends to this day. You know, I really pick his brain about, you know, not only music, but he manages a lot of acts. You know, he started managing DJ Frankie and Danny Magic. They actually wrote the song for Lecrae and Tori Kelly. But DJ Frankie, you know, his plaques are all over this. And just understanding the business and how the business maneuvers. And I just think having somebody that's a friend that I can continue to compare notes with, our objective notes. And so shout out to Adalio, Side 3. Yeah. And of course, you and I have worked on a bunch of records here as well. So
yeah.
I don't know if that made sense. But
that was great. So I guess all of that said, because you are like a little bit older than me, what advice would you have, you know, because you see me, you've seen my path, you've seen my journey, but also hopefully maybe you can steer this to people who are watching too, just, you know, in general. Oh, and quick shout out Andy Rock and Jeff. What's up?
What's up? Brother Jeff. Yeah. Oh, thank you, brother. I used to work with Jeff back in the day. He was with
Jeff Campbell,
with Cut and Crew Records back in the day, you know. Apostle, brother Jeff, yes sir. We gotta connect. I thought I was gonna. I told him, man, I'm gonna need to do some.
Mario is a musical genius.
God bless you, brother. I appreciate you too. Have you seen his one-man show, Jeff? Yeah.
No, actually, I haven't seen that one, but I saw the latest one he did at Cleo's. Okay. My friend Ryan was the director for that.
Oh,
so
nice. No, talented brother. And you know, Jeff, another guy I grew up and being influenced by him.
Yeah,
you know,
that's crazy.
People don't know the story of, do you know the story of Cut and Crew Records?
No, man. Yeah, honestly, like, I hope that there's a way that we could kind of capture some of this Denver history and history
in
general.
Before any of this stuff was popping off in Denver, I mean, there's a label called Cut and Crew, and a guy, DJ, in fact, Gary did some of the Words Can Heal show. He was the DJ. Gary Scratch G. Martinez. So he was the owner, and an Apostle ran that with him for a long time.
That's crazy.
You know, they had a lot of songs, and they pushed out a lot of records. And there was one record that actually got played like on MTV, and it actually was getting played on all the stations. And so, you know, they just really, you know, they were using, I think, an N-Sonic, and just making beat, kind of like today trap, but just with bass beats, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, special love to them. And another cat, you know, DJ Fame. I actually, a guy named Fabian Garcia, he passed away a few years ago. I actually grew up on the same block with him. And so he actually would let me go to his house and learn how to play bass lines. And we didn't even have recording equipment. We would use two tape players and actually play the bass line on one. And then the key would change, though. So you kind of had it. Like, if I wanted it to be an A, I probably had to start lower. So that's how far, bro, it goes back. And
dang,
so I have a cousin. I don't know if you know this guy. His name's Louis Chavez. He's in this band called Hot Lunch.
Okay.
And they were, like, making records, and they were on the radio in the, like, late 80s, early 90s.
Sure.
So a lot of dudes that I learned from, you know, that, you know, and again, Brother Jeff, you know, learned a lot from him as well. And so, you know, advice. What I would say is this, that you have been blessed to be born at a time.
I am blessed.
Well, you not only have talent, but
blessed.
Watch this. So I think it's this: talent plus practice equals skills. But that doesn't get you anything. You could be talented and you could practice. It's only going to get you skills. But skills, right, versus work or practice and hard work equals achievement.
Mm.
So because you have access to gear
that you got to put time in.
Well, you have, some people didn't have access to this.
Right.
You have access, any young artist, to technology that we did not have access to. I'm like on the cusp because I learned playing an instrument and I apply it to the technology. But gosh, if you can program, people are making some phenomenal music today. And I think people really have to take advantage of it, because just like I told you, the Beatles back in the day when everybody had access to guitars, there's going to be some other technology that only a few people have access to in the next 10, 15 years.
Hmm.
So right now you have to use this leverage where equipment is pretty cheap to really invest in yourself to put music out. But then I think the other thing is also knowing business. Unfortunately, because people put so much stuff out for free, there's no value. The value of things has dropped, even though, so we want people to buy, you know, a ticket to our show or, you know, buy our songs, but really in record sales, that doesn't exist anymore, right? Yeah. CDs, widgets are done. In downloading,
you can stream.
Yeah, I mean, and what, you have to have a million, you know, plays, streams to even get anything. So what are you leveraging? Like you're leveraging your podcast. What merchandise do you have? You know, are you touring?
Buy the shirts.
You know, so touring is quintessential, I think, to any artist, because you get to keep the gate, you know, whether, you know, so, you know, I would say that, gosh, and I will be a little jealous. I tell my wife this, gosh, if I was only born a little later, we'd have access to everything. It's a joke, because when we were young, I didn't have my own
tape deck, record players, scratch recordings.
Well, I told you, when I met Adele, I didn't even have my own keyboard.
Yeah.
And I finally got a Motif, you know, and so I was using other people's gear. In fact, the first album I ever made, there was this, I don't know if you knew about this spot, it was called Keyboard Exchange.
Okay.
And it was a piano shop over off of Sheridan and Alameda. Alameda. And there's this guy named Steve Little Italy LaRusso. This dude was so dope on the NPC.
Okay.
He, in fact, worked with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis in Minnesota and actually produced the music or the beats for Sounds of Blackness.
Wow.
Do you know who Sounds of Blackness
is? Yeah.
So I would go in after hours and I would produce all my music on their gear.
Wow.
And that's because we didn't have anything. So, dude, how much would you charge to let me stay with you? He goes, nah, just let's make some music. And we would go to this FTM studio down the block to track what we did.
So what gave you the drive to become a musician? Because to go through all of that has to come from somewhere deep within.
You know, I think about that a lot. I just knew I always enjoyed music. My family, when I grew up, they were, and we talked about the term Chicano. We didn't speak Spanish. So a lot of the Mexicans that were in Denver were Chicanos. And what Chicano was really at the time during the civil rights movement is that they took a term that was actually negative. I mean, like almost third class citizen, and they made it something positive.
Like the N-word?
Yeah, there you go. And so these Chicanos, right? They came from farm workers and just different, you know, this was during the 70s, 80s. You know, I was raised by that generation. And so my mom was listening to Earth, Wind & Fire, the Commodores. She was listening to actually the Eagles, you know, all these crazy records that I was like, man, this is really cool. And so when all the kids would play, like my family would get together and party on the weekend, right? And they were good partiers. They would drink beers and listen to music and dance. While all the other kids were downstairs, I would go sit by the speaker. And that's when I first learned about Maurice White. I learned about Verdine White, you know, the bass player.
Yeah,
David Foster, he was producing these records.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just was gravitated to the rhythms,
to
man.
The
and then, you know, but there wasn't really no plan. I just liked it, you know?
Yeah. What's your favorite song? First thing that comes to mind.
Gosh, that's a good question.
Can't think about it too hard.
Stevie Wonder, Redemption.
Okay.
Bob Marley remake.
Okay.
The note he holds at the end. Oh, man, a great record.
I don't know if I've heard that, but I have heard...
Redemption song, Stevie?
Yeah, Bob Marley's, yeah.
Listen to Stevie's version. It's phenomenal.
I'm excited, too. I love Stevie.
Yeah. Songs in the Key of Life, one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah. Did you get to see him when he was here?
No.
Pepsi Center?
No.
Yeah.
You?
I did, yeah. My mom took me. At the first note, I was instantly in tears, just like, oh my gosh, that's Stevie Wonder right there.
Yeah.
But
you know, that's you know, producer I was really influenced by, that not a lot of people give a lot of credit to now, is a cat named Dallas Austin. Okay. Dallas Austin was producing all Boyz II Men, TLC. Mm-hmm. Man, the dude was producing some dope records, you know, and obviously Timberland and Teddy Riley and gosh, Devontae, and you know, he was pretty joke. I mean, I had a lot of really cool influences, and today, I mean, gosh, there's so many dope producers that are out. I mean, they're people are doing some really cool things, you know.
Yeah.
How about you? What's your favorite song right now?
Oh man, my favorite song. You showed it to me actually. Donny Hathaway is a song for you.
Oh, there you go,
dude. Yeah, I remember that moment. You played it in the studio at the Blake Street, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Pulled out the record before we started recording. Listen to this. You had the candles burning. It was like the Mexican prayer candles.
Yeah,
I remember that moment. It's like cemented in my head.
Yeah, great record. I think you, and I mean this sincerely, you
what
have
they call
that
those
vibe.
Candles? What are those candles called? There has to be a word.
Dude, I used to just get them at the Mexican shop down the block.
Yeah.
You know, just prayer candles. So.
Yeah. But you said what?
No, I think, you know, I think I showed you that record at the time because you have that type of soul, that type of vibe.
That means
when you're writing,
actually.
Man. You know, I know you got your roads, you know, you got that roads. I see you doing records like that. And I really want to make a record with you, bro, that it doesn't have to be so purist, like, hey, it's honoring the old. It's new.
Yeah.
But it has the soul of the old.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know.
It's always there. What's coming up next for you?
You know, I go back and forth to Nashville working on records, and I have a management company that I work with now. And, you know, I'm just trying to place records that I enjoy doing.
Cool.
I do worship with my wife, and so my wife's a singer. And, you know, we just love doing and worship. When I say that, we play at church, you know. Yeah. And I just love to play for God. And I can honestly say that out of anything that I've ever done, whether it was as a performer or producer, there's nothing more special than worshiping at church. And you know, it doesn't matter how you do it. In fact, you know what I was listening to the other day? I don't know if you've heard. Have you heard Aretha Franklin's album, Amazing Grace?
The live one?
Oh, dude, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I believe I have.
I've never heard it before. I listened to it this week.
Yeah, she's cool.
Dude, it's just the whole idea of church. Mm. It wasn't about church. Church is like a corporation today. And it's like we have all these different people forming things. But then it was just people getting together. And you hear that organ, you hear that Leslie, it's like, they're just, you know, we had a hard week, we're just going to let it all out, and we're just going to praise the Lord. It's so special, man. So that, yeah, really that, and take care of my son. I have a one-year-old, Luke. He's probably getting to bed right about now, so he's changed my life and re-prioritized a lot of things, and I know you feel the same with your two beautiful ones.
It's life-changing.
Yeah.
But wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you, Mario.
Yes, sir. Love
tomorrow.
You, brother. Yes, sir.
And let's write some music soon. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thank you. Peace, brother Jeff.
Peace and much love.
Andy.
Yep.
Cool. All right. I don't know how it turned out, but it was fun.
Yeah, no, that was...